This morning, silent night, holy night.
Silent night, holy night.
If you'll take your Bibles now this morning and open them up to Matthew in chapter 18. We're going to just settle on that passage of Scripture here today and look at it and see what the Lord has for us, realizing that this same passage of Scripture is going to be the direction we take next Sunday. Next Sunday would be considered Christmas Sunday. And we're looking at the babe in the manger and forgiveness that's been provided by him. But as I look at this here this morning, Jesus continues to teach his disciples, and we've been through this portion here a little bit and kind of laying the foundation and the groundwork for what's been going on here. And remember last week we looked at that 15 through 20, and that portion of Scripture we often call a church discipline portion of Scripture. And yet as we looked at it and I thought about it, you know, it's more so of reclaiming sheep. If you see the verses prior to that, verses 13 and 14, we find the shepherd going out and finding that one sheep. And then he goes in, moreover, he says, and if a person sins, then what do you do? And it's a way to reclaim sheep. It's a way to minister to people within the body that are brothers and sisters in Christ without being overbearing creating more than needs to be created. And then from that point, then we find here, so the Lord talks to them about how to deal with people that are out there in sin. Maybe they don't realize it. Maybe they do realize it, but how to deal with it. And then Peter speaks up, and as Peter speaks up in verse number 21, and he said, now wait, okay, Lord, I got it. If a person out there is sinning, here's how we're supposed to do it. But what if they sin against me? What if they sin against me? Then what do we do? He says, do we forgive them seven times? And we begin this dialogue and we begin this story that I think is so, so important in the day in which we find ourselves. Forgiveness is a supernatural quality. I put it that way for this reason, because none of us think that we need to be forgiven, but everybody should be forgiving us. And more than forgiveness is we live in a day of revenge. We don't want to seek forgiveness, we want to seek revenge. You know, we want to get even, or we want to get one up. And the Lord takes Peter at this point, and as he's teaching the disciples, Peter brings this up and it's thought up here. And the thing is, though, when you look at verse 21, it says, then Peter came to him, talking to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Now, do you see what's wrong with Peter's statement? Peter assumes that anybody that's done anything is going to be against him. He doesn't ever take the assumption, what if I'm the one doing the sinning? And he draws it in that way. And, you know, instead of keeping it wide open, it's kind of like Peter's saying, hey, Lord, I'm living a pretty good life here right now. What if somebody comes and sins against me? Well, Peter, what if you sin against them? And what should take place here? And the Lord begins to open this up, and we start here with this picture here of what's going on. And Peter says, how about seven times? Now, why seven? Because the Jewish rabbis, if you go to the book of Amos, in chapter 1, I think it's like 3, 6, 9, 11, and 12, something like that. Amos is writing, and he's talking about the nations that have sinned against the nation of Israel. And as he writes about that, it says, up to three times and because of four shall God judge Gaza, shall God judge this nation, that nation, all these other nations. And so under rabbinic teaching, they felt that if God used this in Amos chapter 1 with the idea of the nation of Israel, then forgiving somebody three times is enough. Okay, we live under an age of three strikes and you're out. Okay, as far as justice. But the thought was coming with three times, and Peter steps up and he says, but seven, the number of perfection, the number of completion. And so Peter's being very, very generous in regards to this concept and this idea, how often shall I forgive my brother? How often should I forgive? Seven times. Now, can I share something? If somebody's sinned against you seven times and you've forgiven them seven times, that's a lot. That's already a lot. But we know what the Lord says. The Lord says no till 70 times seven. Some of your Bibles have 77. Some of your Bibles seven times seven or 490. But what's the concept? The Lord says you forgive. You forgive. And that's the rub. Because forgiveness is unnatural. That's why, as I look at it, and I put it on your outline there this morning, is forgiveness is a supernatural quality. We'll look at next week in forgiveness and the babe in the manger and all that takes place there. But for us today, how do we deal with forgiveness? It's unnatural. Even animals don't deal with forgiveness. Predatory. They're one after the other all the time. There's not this type of thing of, okay, let's have peace with one another. No, there's never peace there. Freud said this: one must forgive one's enemies, but not before they've been hanged. Well, that's good psychological advice. Okay. That was Freud. And when we stop and we look at the concept of forgiveness, we stop and think, we're letting somebody get away with something. We want to be vindicated. We look at the concept of fairness. And sometimes we want revenge. And as you read accounts in history, you read accounts in the news, there are those moments, there are those times when people have been wronged, and legitimately wronged, and they go to a person and say, I forgive you for what you've done, whether it's family members, whether it's church members. People have said, yes, I forgive you. And we step back and we go, and I stop and I try to put myself in some of those positions. And I think of parents who have lost children to reckless driving or drunken driving or something like that. And we how do we forgive? How do we forgive? And Peter asks the question, it's a legitimate question. But as we look at that legitimate question, the Lord turns around and he says, but there's a legitimate answer. And forgiveness being unnatural, but supernatural, is something we need to deal with in our lives. We got a world out there right now that is not forgiving. It's vindictive. It's mean-spirited. My son shared with me this past week, and I the situation with the Clark family on the other side of town. There was a Facebook post, and it was kind of like, wow. And somebody had posted on Facebook about the death of that pastor over there, probably just another pedophile like the rest of them. And you step back and you read that, and you stop and you ask yourself, where is our society and where is our world in their sense of their anger and the sense of their vengeance and the sense of seeking revenge? And you read a family that's hurting, and then you find people that post this kind of stuff out there. We live in a world that needs forgiveness, and we'll talk about that in particular next week. But this week, what about us? What about us? And as Jesus is teaching his disciples here at this point, let me start out with a statement. It's this, and it says this: forgiveness begins with a recognition of the God we serve. Forgiveness begins with a recognition of the God we serve. Peter came to him, how often do I forgive? To seven times. The Lord said 70 times seven. And then he says, let me tell you a story. Therefore is connected to Peter's question. It's connected to Peter's thoughts, connected to Peter's feelings. And the Lord says, therefore. And he connects that together and he says this in the first few verses there. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven, and that's important. When you use the phrase kingdom of heaven, you're dealing with the idea of all those that are a part of that kingdom. You're dealing with the concept of these are believers. These are people who are following the King. And so when the Lord starts speaking here, sometimes people take this and look and use it as a concept of salvation. It's not a concept of salvation. We dealt with that thought this morning in another one of the illustrations in Sunday school. No, excuse me, adult Bible study. 30 years is hard to quit saying something, okay? Adult Bible study. But when you stop and you think about that, he says the kingdom of heaven. This is important for us to understand in verse number 23. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And so all of a sudden there's a reckoning that's going to take place here. And when he begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now many of you probably have notes in your Bible if you have notes that are there. It was said and recorded in the history that the total tax levy in Palestine during the time of Christ was approximately 800 talents a year. The total Roman tax levy upon the Palestinian area was 800 talents a year. This man here owned 10,000, or taken account, and he began to reckon and brought him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, if you stop and look at that, some have said in your in the notes that are there, this is a buying power of roughly $10 million in our day and age, $10 million. What is the Lord trying to say here at this point? He's not saying there's, okay, we'll make this happen. He's saying this is an unpardonable or an unforgivable amount of money, an amount of money that cannot be paid back. That's the illustration that's being brought here. That's the story that the Lord is teaching at this point. We're talking about something like this. And in that economy, a man would work, the average man would work approximately 20 years to earn one talent of wealth. 20 years for one talent of wealth. We're talking how many talents? 10,000 talents. The illustration is this. There is an unforgivable debt that has been accrued and amassed. And as the king is there looking at that, but verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made, which was considered standard practice for that day. Sell him into slavery and get the money out of slavery. The servant fell down. Verse 26, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, that's an assumption there that he could. In all reality, we know the story. He couldn't do that. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him that unpayable debt. And as you stop and you read this, and I ask the question, forgiveness begins or makes a statement with a recognition of the God we serve. What do we know about this God we serve? Number one, he is a God of great compassion. He is a God of great compassion. The God that we serve, and people try to give God a bad rap and all these bad things that happen out there, and well, it's all God's fault, it's all God's fault, it's all God's fault. God is a God of great compassion, and we find it in this story here. And Jesus is telling this story to try to let us understand who the God is we serve. But we also know that he is a God of great forgiveness. Great forgiveness. With a world today that continues to shake its fist in the face of God, with a population in America that is now considered to be one quarter atheistic or agnostic, which means they say, nah, I don't even know if you can know God, or no, we don't believe in God, and they continue to shake their fist in the face of God, God has yet brought judgment that's coming. Why? Because he's a long-suffering, compassionate God. He's a God that forgives you and I. And He wants to forgive you and I. And so as we stop and realize, when we think of this concept of forgiveness, we have to stop and think about, okay, what about my debt? And that's the picture that the Lord is trying to produce here at this point. What is my debt that I owe to an infinite, all-powerful, perfect, holy God? And the debt I owe is unpayable. And next week we find the payment in a baby. But for this week, for you and I to stop and to realize the forgiveness that's been afforded to you and I as followers of Jesus. The forgiveness that's been afforded to us that we might have a relationship with the God of the universe, to know Him and to understand Him just a little bit. I like what Job has to say. The things that he knew about God, he said, these are just the mere fringes of His garment, of who the God is that we serve. And for us to understand that as we look at this concept of forgiveness, we have to go back to the God of great forgiveness. And as we look at the God of great forgiveness, we got to see that He is a God that has great compassion for His sheep. He is a God who has great forgiveness for His people. And with that being the premise, the Lord continues on, and now it gets a little bit quirky. What do I mean by that? I was looking at this, and I was sitting down, as I was studying this portion of Scripture, I was thinking, man, I found point after point after point that deal with the idea of, if we do not forgive, here's what's going to happen. If we do not, and we'll see this in just a moment, and I began to sit there and think, okay, that sounds pretty negative. Can I turn this around and give it a positive spin? Instead of taking it from a negative perspective, could I look at it from a positive perspective? And as I sat there and meditated upon this portion of Scripture and upon this story that the Lord is telling, I looked at it and I thought, wait a minute. How Jesus said it was perfect. So I'm not going to try to change it. And basically, what Jesus points out in the rest of this story here is that if you will not forgive, here's what's going to happen. He doesn't say, if you will not forgive, or if you will forgive, here's what's going to happen. He says, if you do not forgive, here's what's going to take place. And I stopped and I thought, okay, I'm not going to go the other direction. If this is how Jesus taught it to His disciples, then I think that's how we need to hear it from His Word. So as we look at it here today and we begin to look at the rest of this here, we got to stop and realize our God is a God of great compassion and great forgiveness. But what's that mean to you and I? A lack of forgiveness. And I went down through this story and I thought, wow. And I've been around people who are unforgiving. I've been around people who have struggled with forgiveness. I've been around people over the years who have conquered forgiveness in their lives. And it's so interesting to see what I found as we look at this. And so let's look at ourselves this morning. I look at myself, and we see what the Lord has to say, because a lack of forgiveness, number one, produces great anger in our lives. A lack of forgiveness produces great anger in our lives. As we go down through here, we find in verse 28, so the Lord forgave him, verse 27, was moved with compassion, forgave everything. He walked away clear. How do you like the feeling when you pay off the credit card? All right, how do you like the feeling when you pay off that debt that's been hanging over your head? How would you like the feeling if you could pay off something that you could never pay off and be forgiven of it? And this is what's happening here. But what happens is the servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, or some of the Ed read denarii. What is that? That means basically 100 denarii is 100 days' wages. In our economy today, it'd be worth about 20 bucks. Okay, so you have this one who's been forgiven an unforgivable amount, insurmountable. It couldn't be ever paid back. Kind of like our national debt. Okay, anyhow, let's go on. But if you stop and think about it, it can't be paid back. And now we have this one who's been forgiven this amount, who goes out and he finds a person who owes him 20 bucks. Literally, probably 3 months, 3.5 months of his wages. Denarius a day. Average wage. And so he finds this individual who owes him 20 bucks. And what's it say he does? He goes to him and he lays his hand on him. But he doesn't just lay his hand on him. Where does he grab him? By the throat. You ever been grabbed by the throat by anybody that's mad at you? I've not been grabbed by the throat, but I've been pinned up against the wall before by somebody who was mad at me because I was driving school bus. But this one here, when you and I don't realize the forgiveness that's been given to us, and we begin to meditate upon those who have not done what they should have done for us, what begins to settle into our lives but anger? And he doesn't go out and he says, hey, wait a minute, you owe me some money here. Let's get this squared away. Let's take care of this. No, he goes out to him. He sees him. He goes, oh, man. And he grabs him by the throat. And I can imagine it's not just, you know, it's in here. You know, if you ever been choked before, you know, and kids used to do that all the time, you know, playing around and stuff like that. But you get choked. I mean, you're putting something there that's kind of like, whoa. And can I share? He says here, he's mad. And he goes out and he grabs him by the throat. And he says this, he says, I want you to make and pay me all that you owe. And what you see in that term there, you don't understand it or you can see it, but it means basically instantly. Pay all that you owe now. Now. That's the thought. And he was not willing to forgive this person who owed him 20 bucks, even though he had been forgiven that amount by God. And what happens is when you and I begin to let a lack of forgiveness build into our lives, it's going to turn us into angry people. You look at America today, and you see the anger in our land. And my wife and I have talked about it, and you hear certain people and how angry they are and how mad they are. And people who write stuff like they did on Facebook last week about Pastor Clark and his family at Westside. And I stopped and I said, and we both looked at each other and we went, ah. But then it was like, I wonder what the story is. I wonder what the story is in their life that makes them that angry. And I would suspect, if you go back and you start digging, there was some way that they thought that they were wronged, and a lack of forgiveness was a part of it. That's not all the time. But I think if we would go in and we would start to sit down and listen to people's stories. And I think sometimes as Christians we have to be careful because we get around people and you get around somebody that's really mad. And what you want to do is sometimes you want to kind of like either run away from them or you want to kind of, all right, let's know. Instead of just sitting there and listening and hearing their story. Doesn't justify what's going on. But it maybe gives some context in why. And what happens is when you and I don't remember the forgiveness that's been given to us, and we see somebody that has wronged us for whatever reason it is, and we don't take care of it, be careful. Anger will begin to set into your life. Number two, not only will we be angry, but it produces unreasonableness in our lives from the same verse. You're going to pay it all now. He said, Lord, I'll pay it all back later. You know, I'll work on it. And this one comes up to 20 bucks. Says, I want it all and I want it now. That's unreasonable. That was 3.5 months wages. Let's work something out. And because of the anger that sets into our lives, we become unreasonable with the people that are around us and with the people that have wronged us. And the Lord says, and Peter says, how long often should my brother sin against me? And we start to become unreasonable in our expectations, unreasonable in what we want them to do. And this one here became very, very angry, became very, very unreasonable because his desire was, I want it and I want it all now. But it doesn't stop there. Because if you go along here and you see what's taking place, we find it hardness. It hardens our conscience. Go back and look at verse number 26. Here's the servant being forgiven this insurmountable debt. And he fell down, worshiped the Lord, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, for the one who owes 20 bucks. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. You would have stepped back and you would have thought to yourself, it would have been like, whoa, wake up call. Ding. I just used those same words to somebody that I owed an amount that I'll never pay back. And he forgave me. And now somebody is there right in front of me, and they have just spit those same words right back into my face. And instead of sitting there and standing your back and go, whoa, 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 wow, whoa, slow down here. It's kind of like, I don't care. When a person allows unforgiveness to creep into their lives, there is a hardening of that conscience of that person. Exactly what happened here. He didn't even hear his own words being said back to him. He's like, let it go. And he went after him. And for you and I to understand in our lives, this concept of forgiveness, which is a supernatural concept, if we don't get a hold of it, it will take a person and it will harden their conscience. It will harden your conscience. It'll harden my conscience if we cannot get a hold of that and move it on and forgive a person. And Jesus is talking to Peter. How many? Seven times? Pretty good. No, Peter. You've got to learn to forgive. And you stop and you say to yourself, but isn't forgiveness requiring somebody to also reciprocate that? Yes. But what if they don't? What about your attitude? What about my attitude? What about my spirit? I still have to have that attitude of forgiving because the Lord said so. And here's this one, and the words are the exact words right back in his face, and it doesn't even dent him. It doesn't even faze him. Why? Because by this time, his conscience has become hardened to this aspect of this forgiveness. And so we find this identical expression. So if we don't forgive, here's what's going to happen. And then we find this here. It says a lack of forgiveness again as we look at it. And what do we see next? It affects more than just you and me. What happens here? And he took him and he said, I'm not going to have patience. You've got to pay me all. He would not. He went out and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. A lack of forgiveness affects more than just you. Some people say, it's just me, and that's it. No, it affects people around you. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15, the writer of Hebrews warns the Christians at that point. He says, beware lest a root of bitterness springs up within you. And he goes on and says, and many be defiled. Bitterness is an offshoot of anger. It's a response in our soul to the fact that we're mad about something. And if we dwell on it long enough and long enough and long enough, it makes us bitter. And the book of Hebrews tells us, beware of that root of bitterness, because if it springs up in your life and it's there, it's going to affect many people around you. And it affects them in many different ways. In some ways, you'll always find a person that can be bitter just along with you. And he said, oh yeah, man. And you can find two people that are bitter and angry about something, and they'll just feed one another. But you get around a bitter person, if you've ever been around a bitter person, there comes a point in time that you may stop and say to yourself, you know what? It's time to unfriend them on Facebook. That's the vernacular for this day. But you get to a point, you stop and say, you know what? Their bitterness is not doing me any good at all. And what happened here? What took place here was the fact that this bitterness of this person was recognized by the other servants around them. You and I can't be bitter in ourselves without other people recognizing it within us. We can't be angry and unforgiving in ourselves and stop and say, well, it's just between me and that person and it doesn't affect me with anybody else. It will affect you. And it will affect people around you. And you can't be an unforgiving person, and I can't be an unforgiving person without it having a direct bearing upon the people that I come in contact with. The servants watched. They saw it. And went, whoa. And it affected them to the point, what did they do? Tattletale. No, that's not. They did the right thing. They went to the Lord and said, man, got a problem here. And he's taking it out on other people. And when you and I will not take care of this forgiveness that God has shown us, and then we take it to somebody else, it will affect those around us. But we see something else. It'll cause us to miss the blessings of God. As you stop and you see what's happening here, and the servants went in verse number 31, then verse 32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me, or you begged me, or you pleaded with me. Verse 33, should not you also have had, and there's the word compassion in the King James, and on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity in the King James on thee. Now, if you look at that, what's interesting here is the same words used in the original language. Mercy. Shouldest thou not also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And when you and I, Peter says, how many times? Seven. Lord says, no, let me talk to you about this. If you get to number eight and you won't forgive somebody, you got a problem. And the problem is this, is that you'll miss the blessings of God. He looks to the servant, he says, don't you remember the mercy I showed you? Don't you get the mercy I extended to you with an insurmountable debt to be paid? And when you and I begin to allow this lack of forgiveness to enter into our soul and into our being and into our hearts and into our minds, we will miss and we will not see the goodness and the graciousness and the kindness and the mercy of the God whom we serve. We will be so self-consumed. And the Lord looked at him and says, you should have been merciful, because don't you remember the mercy I showed you? You would stop and think, that would be a wake-up call. but conscience has been hardened. Why? Only because of a lack of forgiveness. A lack of forgiveness. And as we find this mercy and compassion, he says, you don't remember this. You don't see this. You don't see what's going on. You're missing who I am and what I've done. And I am the ultimate demonstration of compassion and mercy in anybody's life. And you still missed it. And it stirs the heart of God. It stirs the heart of God. I think this is important. Verse number 34. And the Lord was mad. Your Bible say angry. My King James says wrath. God gets mad. And we step back and go, oh, man. That's not one we want to deal with right now. Yeah, we have to. Why? Because what did we find in the first section of this? Our God is a God of great what? Compassion. A God of great compassion. But he is God, and he is perfect. And when people sin, and deliberately sin, God is compassionate and God is long-suffering, but there will be a day of justice, and it does create within a holy God a righteous anger that has been aroused in the heart of a holy God. We want God just to be loving and compassionate and loving and compassionate, but he's a God of justice. And even in the scriptures, we're told as individuals to be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Anger is a justified emotion used in the right way. And God in his perfection, God in his holiness can take those emotions and he can make them operate in the right way. He was compassionate, forgave that insurmountable debt. But when this happened and this one was treated so unfairly and so unkindly and without forgiveness, it stirred the very heart of God and his Lord. And the Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors. And what do we find here? This lack of forgiveness itself will bring about torment in our lives. To find a person who is not willing to forgive somebody, if you ever hang around them long enough, you begin to find out, boy, they're a tortured person. In some of your Bibles that you have there, it says, and he was delivered over to the torturers. It's not that they're putting a person on a rack and you know, doing all kinds of terrible things, but the thing is this, what does forgiveness do to you as a person or to me as a person? It tortures our very being. And the Lord said, deliver them over to the tormentors. Deliver them over to the torturers. What we find here is this, is that when you and I are not willing to forgive somebody who has wronged us, the torment arouses itself within our own being. And it makes us mad, and it makes us angry, and we begin to lose sleep, and we wake up in the middle of the night thinking, how can they do that and get away with it? How can this happen? And we begin to, and we find many people who cannot forgive somebody, the torment is physical, and they lose this ability to have a good, healthy life anymore. Because this lack of forgiving has created such a fury within themselves. They're tormenting themselves and tormenting themselves and tormenting themselves. And the Lord says, that's what happens. If you and I don't understand this supernatural principle. You stop and say, God being angry. We talked about this in our adult Bible study this morning. How that whom the Lord loves, he does what? He chastens. And it says it can be a little bit uncomfortable too. Now he forgives. And think of the life of David. David was forgiven for his sins. But can I share with you, he was tormented the rest of his life? He watched a baby die. He watched his sons. And what did the prophet say? The sword will not depart out of your home. And the things that we do in our lives sometimes carry consequences. They have carried the forgiveness of God, and his stamp of forgiveness is upon our lives. But what we have set in motion sometimes cannot be drawn back. And it's got to run its course. And in this situation here, he was delivered over to the tormentors. A lack of forgiveness in our lives will bring torment in our lives. And we also see this, it produces a certainty from God. Verse 34, he was angered, delivered to the tormentors, so he paid all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, who's speaking? Jesus. He's talking about God Almighty. Shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, Peter, and the rest of you disciples, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their transgressions, their trespasses, their sins against you. A lack of forgiveness produces a certainty from God. The torment that can be allowed, that God will allow to come into your life. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. And you stop and say, well, that's not a loving God. Huh? If you want to discipline your child not to do something, you got to do something sometimes pretty severe. What's always available to us? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is always available to us. But if we will not avail ourselves and we will not forgive those around us, as the Lord is teaching his disciples here at this point, here's what it'll do to a person. Here's what it'll do to you. Here's what it'll do to me. And that's pretty powerful. A certainty from God that it'll bring upon your life and mine a sense of God's judgment, a sense of God's discipline, a sense of God's chastening in our lives because we're not willing to forgive that brother. Ah, you don't know. The Lord doesn't make conditions. He says, forgive them. If they come and they're seeking forgiveness, you've got to forgive them. I put this down here, just some thoughts. A test of forgiveness. A test of forgiveness. Let me ask a couple questions here this morning. You've got them there before you. Number one, do I feel pain when thinking of someone? Do I feel pain when thinking of someone? And if that person has wronged you and you think of them and their name comes up and inside of you, you begin to get this knot in your gut and you get this feeling in your chest gets a little tight and maybe you start... I think it's an indication that you're still struggling. You've not gotten the victory yet. Number two, do I still have evil thoughts when thinking of someone? No, you don't want them to go out and die, but if they slipped and broke their leg, what would you think? I hope not. But I think it's a good question. Have I forgiven? Do I still have evil thoughts when thinking of someone? Better think about it. And number three on your list there, do I still deliberately not speak to someone? Do I still deliberately not speak to someone? One time I was wronged, and as I was wronged, I can remember after the event had happened, coming face to face with this person in the village market. And I had to just put my head down and keep on walking for a bit. Praise the Lord, not anymore. But it was a good indication to me that I hadn't gotten over it yet. And I can remember feeling my pulse race and my heart, and I'm going, and we both kind of looked the other direction and walked past one another. Good test. Good test. And over the years, God has brought a sense of forgiveness in my heart and my mind, and that's been taken care of. But we stop and we think sometimes, okay, I'll work on forgiving, but man, it is so hard to forget. You're right. You're right. And I was reading and I saw this illustration the other day, and I thought, this is pretty cool. You know, we've all, probably most of us, have heard of Corrie ten Boom. Heard of her days in the prison camps in Germany. Getting freed from them and coming out and meeting her accusers in meetings that she had gone to around Europe, expressing and speaking of forgiveness. And she was telling a story of meeting somebody one time and how she couldn't stick her hand out, and this German SS officer who used to see her in the showers all the time stuck his hand out and said, "Isn't it great that God forgives us?" And she couldn't reach out. And then she finally said, "Lord, you're going to have to help me with this." And she shook his hand and realized what was going over, taking place over her. But she was with a Lutheran pastor one day. She says, "I struggle with not forgetting." And he took her and he said, "Look at the bell tower." And they were in a church in Europe where the old bell was rung. And he says, "Now the sexton's going to ring the bell." And he's there hanging on to the cord. And he's ringing the bell and he's ringing the bell and he's ringing the bell. And then all of a sudden he lets his hands go. But what's the bell continue to do? Boom. 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 And he said, that's just like forgetting and letting forgiveness take over. You let go of the rope, and the bell is still going to swing for a while. It's going to remind you. But as it slows down, and it slows down, it's gone. And in our own lives, I think it's the same way. It's hard to forget when you've been wronged. It's hard to forgive when you've been wronged. We've been commanded to do it. And if we don't do it, what's it going to do to us as individuals? And the Lord takes his disciples and says, "Guys, this is a hard lesson. This is a supernatural lesson. Let go of the rope. Let go of the rope." Peter started out asking for a just measuring rod. How many times? And the Lord said, "Forget the measuring rod. Forgive. Forgive." When we forgive, we are announcing to the world that we believe that God is still in charge and that he will work everything out to the very end. When we forgive. So what is it about this that he's talking to his disciples about forgiveness? A big idea here today would be this: forgiveness will either be practiced or painful. Forgiveness will either be practiced or painful. And that's a tough one. And this will not happen in our own strength. You stop and say, well, how do you go about it? Well, it's not so much sometimes about how you go about it. It's a willingness to say, I want to go about it. I will go about it. But Lord, this is not going to happen unless you, in a supernatural way, intervene in my life. So that when I see that person who has wronged me, I can walk up to them and I don't feel my heart racing and I don't feel my chest beating in my body anymore, but I can stop and say, and to learn that from our God, who has forgiven you and I an insurmountable debt. And now he says, reveal me in your life. Forgive. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you this day, and you taught your disciples something that is so hard. And in many, many people's minds is so justified to feel that way, not to forgive somebody, but to make them hurt, to make them squirm. And we stop and realize, we don't realize the damage we're doing to ourselves and the things that we're missing in regards to who you are as our God. And how less fulfilling the walk in the kingdom would be, and would be, if we don't forgive. And yet, Father, we're asking you to do something in our lives, and I don't know where anybody else is in this room this morning, but we're asking you to do something that is beyond our own capabilities. So we need a supernatural unction from on high to allow us to do that. And for that, we pray. Lord, we also pray for this morning here. Maybe there's someone yet who's not been forgiven by you of the insurmountable debt that they have caused you. And yet you're willing right now with compassion and forgiveness, willing to bring them into your kingdom and say, I will forgive you all. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning who has not experienced that, may they do it now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around, and you're saying in your heart, in your life, I've not experienced a forgiveness like that, and that's what I need. You slip your hand up and you put it down, and we'll recognize it, and we'll talk to you after the service. We don't just want to let you walk away, but we'll talk to you after the service. Anyone? Then believers this morning, I don't know each of your lives personally. I know some things. I don't know a lot of things. But you know what's in your heart in your life right now. And you know the struggles and the battles. And the Lord said to his disciples, you got to forgive. Take that first step and say, Lord, I want to be obedient to you. And how that looks and how it transpires, I want you to lead me there. And let him do it. So, Father, we come to you this day thanking you for our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen.